All right, Mike. What if I said you can play EverQuest 2 like the big boys do?
All right, wait a second. Sorry. You're overdoing this. You should just talk. Tell me what's happening. Stop. You're overproducing this intro. Try again.
You can buy a max level EverQuest 2 character for like $25.
Yeah, that's stupid. But I mean, you know, that's. I assume if you're going to play EverQuest 2, I assume that the. Like a lot of the MMOs are like that. The game is the end game. So it's like, yeah, I guess you better if you really want to play. Like, why waste your time doing all that leveling up stuff? That's what I like about Final Fantasy XIV is that it's been super fun kind of getting to the max level. Pete actually just wrote he kind of did like a 1 month later story. But, awkward transition into the song now. And now we'll transition into the date. Hello, everybody. This is Mike Minotti. I'm joined by my brother, Ash Guy.
Howdy.
And do you know what date is? September something. What,
25th.
September 25th. See, I just asked you this time.
What year?
What year is this? 2013. I got it. This has been the hardest year for me. I don't know why this weird... This
2013, year. It doesn't flow.
It's just a weird year. You know, and I'm really having a decade identification problem. I'm having a super hard time differentiating this from, like, the aughts. Even though we're, like, this is, like, the third or fourth year into it, right? It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, but like, at
that
what
doesn't
point,
feel like the separation from
like,
the
like, at what
to
point
the 90s?
Am I, like, oh, we're in the teens? It'll be weird when, I said this before, but when it'll be really weird when we're in the 20s.
The roaring 20s.
Yeah, that'll just be the crazy, like, oh, it's the 20s. Like, I'll be...
Let's go down to the speakeasy for like, some hooch.
Never occurred to me that in the prime of my life I'd be living in the 20s, you know?
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So hey everybody, yeah, we got some stuff to talk about. We have some Steam stuff to talk about. I wish it was more exciting,
yeah,
to be honest.
I got thoughts, but yeah.
These of us have played Grand Theft Auto, it's not gonna stop us from talking about it. The community's been talking about it a bit. Kind of interesting stuff. They're kind of like what we're going off of, like, you know, if we kinda go a little deeper into why we don't like Grand Theft Auto and why we're kinda being dismissive of it.
Right.
So I kind of was thinking about this. I have some interesting things to maybe say about it. Then we'll talk about a week in gaming. We'll get to the releases, and that'll be the show. So let's talk about the Steam thing. First off, I don't like the structure of these announcements.
Yeah, like, just tell us. First off, it's got to be like a week-long event.
I don't like that it is, first off, the announcement of an announcement. I hate that crap. And then, like, yeah, this, like, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and, like, it should just be one announcement so far, it seems like.
Yeah.
Like, on Monday, they announced...
Oh, you're making a SteamOS. I wonder if they'll make a box. Like,
it's like, of course you're making a SteamOS. And again, when they made the announcement... So, on Monday, that was the announcement, the SteamOS. They didn't really say anything about it.
No, it's literally, we're making an OS based off Linux.
Yeah, we know. Like, yeah. We figured.
Then the Steam Machine announcement was, yeah, we're like, there's going to be all kinds from different manufacturers. It could be anything, really. So, there you go.
I think this... This weird idea that there's going to be, like the Steam Machine is more of a brand than an actual thing.
Do you know what
thing.
It is? It's the 3DO.
Yeah, I don't think that's good.
No, because remember, there was the Panasonic 3DO.
Yeah.
That's what everyone had. That's what came out. There was supposed to be a Mitsubishi 3DO, and then in theory, 3DO is going to be, like, DVD for games. Like you'd get a 3DO player, but from the company of your choice.
I know why everybody... thinks it's a good idea because there's a lot of flexibility, but it's from a marketing standpoint, that's kind of a disaster.
Well,
and I still don't understand who's making the Steam Machine.
Whoever wants to.
Is Valve making one? Are they actually in the hardware business?
No, they're making the 300 prototypes just for prototyping purposes. But I my guess is they're going to rely on people like Alienware, like Razer, like Dell. To make Steam boxes of various configurations.
But so once again, they're just... But, and that's what I was telling you last week. It's just computers.
It is. That's all it is. It's just computers that are custom built for gaming and nothing else. Like, you can go to Alienware and get a gaming PC, true. But it's still going to have Windows. It's going to have Notepad. It's going to have Paint. This is literally going to be a PC that the first time you turn it on, it's going to say, what's your Steam username?
Again.
And that's it.
I'm just having a hard time really seeing how this could actually have a mass market appeal.
Well,
it seems like it appeals to people who hate Windows. like hate Windows, like those people, and people who like to like hack things a lot. And people are always like, oh, this is awesome because we can put whatever operating system we want on this and I can do this. But like, how many people actually do that?
Right. Well, here's what I understand. So SteamOS, they announced it's a Linux derived operating system. So it's really just a custom Linux. I mean, and, you know, they say some exciting things, like because they're making their own OS, like they're really tuning it for gaming, like they're getting good performance gains and blah blah blah. That's all.
But I'm sure the performance is going to be good. But is the performance not going to be good on a PlayStation 4?
Well, here's what
is it not going to be good on an Xbox One?
Here's what they said: the Steam machine and by extension SteamOS will run any Steam game that's for Linux. Their answer to games that are not Linux is like a streaming thing. Okay, that's
everybody's magical solution is streaming.
That's fine. So, here's my question now. Let's say I'm a hardcore PC gamer. Do I really want, like, okay, and then the Steam machine comes in multiple configurations, like an entry, mid, and high-end. Why do I want the high-end one if it's only going to play the Linux games? Like, I can't play, like, a big, like, honestly, you know what would be a, for the purposes of this, so this is relative, a bigger announcement in a way than Half-Life 3, and stay with me, would honestly be Call of Duty Ghost coming to Linux. Like a mainstream high-end PC game.
That's the problem is you're going to pay this high-end price for this and basically to segment or you know, yeah, you're going to like segment yourself off on PC gaming.
So then if you want to play Ghost or whatever,
and
you need to still have a high-end gaming PC running Windows.
And the only thing that is going to make all these games suddenly show up on Linux is if the Steam machine is suddenly a big hit. I hate that you don't want to bet against Valve right now cuz they've been on a roll. But let's not forget Steam first came out. That was kind of a mess. What is this first Steam machine going to be like?
Right. The only way I could see this making sense for some of the more hardcore gamers is like, and I'm talking the guys who do have a kick-ass gaming rig, is if you really want that living room couch experience for some of your games, and someone makes like the $100 Steam machine that literally isn't even capable
of
doing the
stream. Can it really be $100?
I don't know. I don't know what kind of horsepower you need just to run the stream.
That's my question. To get a Steam machine that plays games that'll look as good as what a PlayStation 4 will do, how much will that cost? $300?
No, I mean, if when you're talking $200? PC components, $800.
$800 still?
Well, sure, because it's still off-the-shelf PC components.
I don't get that.
The reason...
Why wouldn't I just buy a video card?
The reason a PS4 can be cheaper than an equivalent console is because you're mass-producing one set of chips for one configuration, so Sony can negotiate those prices down. When you're talking about off-the-shelf computer components that can be configured however you want, you're buying each component piecemeal from different manufacturers.
I mean, am I missing something here?
And like I said, I can understand getting a Steam machine that's just powerful enough to do the streaming, that's not too expensive, just to extend your gaming PC to your living room, if you wanted to do that. A high-end Steam machine makes no sense to me, because it's going to play a fraction of the games
out there. I'm surprised you're as dismissive about it, because you seemed more excited last week.
I'd be more excited if it was a Windows box, frankly, because I know it could play everything. But if it's just Linux, I mean, and here's the funny thing is, I guess you could just put Windows on it. You have that option.
I guess, but then again, it's like...
Again, I don't see why this needs to exist, it can't just be, just get a computer.
Are you a bit not into his hoity-toity Linux thing at Valve?
Again, I said this last week. For any of this to really, truly take off and make sense, they need to announce on Friday, we've brokered deals with every third party you could think of. All their games are going to be Linux from now on. They're going to run great on SteamOS.
But I mean,
they're
going to
go through their back catalog and start porting stuff.
Well, that's the big thing, the back catalog, because that would be the big selling point, is if you said, look, all those games you've been buying on Steam sales for the past 3 years for $2, whatever, is now going to be on your Steam box. Mm-hmm. But most of them aren't going to be.
They can't be. The ones that will are going to be a lot of the indie games, frankly.
Yeah.
And they don't need that much horsepower to begin with. You know, Rogue Legacy, I'm not, as an example, I don't think it's Linux, but let's just pretend it is. What kind of computer do you really need to run Rogue Legacy?
Right.
But, you know, Metro Last Light, that ain't coming to Linux.
And here's the other thing, they basically announced the beta for the system. This thing does not sound like it's coming out this summer.
Yeah, they said that the 300 beta prototypes will be out to in people's hands before year's end.
That's a weird thing. The 300 beta the beta thing.
Yeah.
I just
now.
I don't know.
So, what do you think Friday's announcement is? Because I'll tell you, I think I figured it out.
I hope it's not the controller.
It's the controller.
That would be so stupid.
There's a FAQ at the bottom of this announcement, and it says, like, one of the questions is, like, how do I control? Like, oh, it was like, mouse and keyboard doesn't make sense for living room, does it? And it's like, no, it doesn't. You could use your mouse and keyboard, but there'll be other exciting ways to interface your games. But we'll be talking about that very soon, we promise.
Is it, like, some fancy controller? Because I don't... It seems to me that if there's going to be a bunch of Steam boxes, there's probably going to be a bunch of controllers. It's going to be, like... the Wild West of controllers. Or, I mean, wouldn't a lot of people probably just want to use their Xbox or PlayStation controllers?
Well, the only thing is none of those have Linux drivers at the moment.
So they'll have a controller. I hope that's not it. I mean,
I would put $5 on it.
Yeah, well, it's got to be something related to the Steam. I mean, I would love
again,
for
they're
it
to, not announcing a game.
I would love for it to be like Source 2 is the announcement. How awesome would it be? But it doesn't seem... It just seems like this is all about... This sort of
quick aside.
To be honest, it seems like this is all a big Linux circle jerk.
Yeah,
that's kind of what it feels
like.
Isn't
that weird?
It's kind of what this is. That's like both these things, like Monday and Wednesday. It's just like you read the thing. It's just about how great Linux is.
Conceptually speaking, a computer that's running a custom OS that only plays games—that's appealing. Until you realize that it can't play most of the games out there. You can't play World of Warcraft on this. You can't play. Like I said, Call of Duty. You can't play Skyrim.
Is Saints Row on?
No.
That's when I don't get
most
this.
Of these games aren't even on Mac.
Didn't like Half-Life 2 just come out on Linux not too long ago?
Yeah, because they started their big Linux push. That was their beta, basically, for getting Source on Linux.
I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I wish it was more exciting. Like I said, I almost wish that the Steam Machine was more of a real system. It would be almost kind of exciting if they were, like, making a system.
It would be better if they just said, like, look, the Steam Machine is this. It has the X processor and Y like, graphics card.
Here's a picture of what it looks like.
It's still essentially running it's just a PC. It's going to function like a PC, but every Steam Machine for the next 5 years, or 4 years, whatever you want to say, is this. So you could make your PC game, but you could tune it to really run great on a Steam Machine. It'll work on any computer, but you know it's going to run this well. Like, if you want to lock it 60 frames per second with these effects turned on, designed for the Steam Machine, and then everything else is configurable.
You know, I think the only thing that can kind of save all this would be is if the Friday announcement was some sort of streaming announcement.
Like, on live streaming.
Like the Netflix of video games we've always talked about, and it's Steam.
Well, you know, now, some people are beginning to think that might be what Sony's cooking up.
Yeah.
They've made some talk... They talked about their backwards compatibility plans with Gaikai streaming at TGS.
Mm-hmm.
So they've already said before how, like, yeah, like, we'll use the Gaikai to get your PS3 backwards compatible games. Like I said, my ideal dream would be that you just put your PS3 disc in it and it just starts streaming.
Yeah.
I doubt that'll happen. Somewhere, something got said that's got people thinking, like, maybe it is going to be some kind of, like, flat monthly fee, and there's a library of PS3, PS2, PS1 games that you could stream, not only to your PS4, but even to your computer, your Vita, whatever you
awesome.
Want.
The person who should be doing that and making $1 zillion is Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. Because
they have the ridiculous library, and they could just... But, you know them, they want to re-release everything a million times over, like, years.
Yeah, but you know what? What's better for Nintendo? For me to, like... Maybe every few months, be like, "Oh, I'll spend $6 on this." Or would I, if it was $8 a month,
I would be a subscriber to that for the rest of my life.
Yeah, they'd get $8 a month from you forever.
Right, like here's the Super Nintendo library. Yes, so seriously, like, all right, NES, Super Nintendo, 64, GameCube. Here you go.
$8 a month, sure.
You could still, like, you know, make, like, the HD version of Wind Waker. You could make a collection and put some special stuff on it. I'll buy it. I don't know.
Or, I mean, even if it is, like, the whole streaming service, you could still say that. But if you still want to buy it and own it, sure. $5.
That is the thing, though. Like, I wonder when we're going to start seeing more of, like, the PS2, Xbox, and GameCube games, like, kind of just offered as they were instead of, like, being HD-ified.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the kind of what's been going on. All right. I mean, I don't know. It's just... So we're kind of down on this, huh? We're kind of collectively down on this. Is there a silver line?
I don't see it.
It's just not exciting to me.
No, it's really not. I'm sure Valve is shitting their pants right now. Like, with glee, that they're finally releasing this to the world. It's a nice logo.
And it just doesn't seem like they have a lot to announce. Yeah, after all the hype, they're not saying much.
Yeah, they're like, well, we're doing this.
There's not much to it.
We'll tell you some more about it later, maybe.
Yeah, I know. Like, especially, I kind of knew that this was going to be a letdown starting on Monday when they started with the operating system.
Like,
oh. It's like, what's Friday going to be? The power cord? I mean, again, this would be one announcement, too.
Like I said, piecemealing this out is dumb.
Especially when
you don't have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
If it was all one announcement, it might be like, oh, okay, there's some meat on this. But
Indians hit a two-run home run. That's very exciting for me.
Oh, my God.
By Swisher. Go try it.
Yes.
Sorry, guys. We have the game in the background.
Yeah, it's on.
We're big Indians fans. They're in the hunt for October. It's huge.
21st. Oh, fucking Nick Swisher. I love Nick.
Nick Swisher's the nicest guy in the world. Let's tell you.
Yeah.
Two things first. Before the other day, Nick Swisher, they do fireworks nights at baseball games.
Yes.
And by the way, Nick Swisher's Indians player, first baseman, new this year. Yeah, doing the OHIO. but Nick Swisher just actually put up $15,000, whatever it was, to put on a fireworks night just himself. Just kind of help bring people to the field. And then yesterday we were at yesterday's game,
yeah,
which was a walk-off home run by Giambi
in the bottom of the ninth.
But go ahead. You can go.
Okay, so two sections over from us was a gentleman celebrating his 95th birthday. And he was there with, like, his whole family, and they were, like, had, like, a sign and everything. So I think it was, like, the seventh or eighth inning. There was a break in the game, like, in the middle of the top of the inning. And so everyone in the whole section starts singing happy birthday to this guy, and then starts applauding at the end of the song. Swisher, like, starts applauding and joins in. You're like, oh, that's cool. So then, like, at the next inning break, Swisher grabs the game ball, runs to the stands, and says to the guy, this is for you, and, like, hands it to a kid in the stands who ran it up to the old man.
What a nice guy.
That's so great!
So good.
So, yeah, we go Tribe.
Yeah, baseball. You know what I want to talk about a little bit? Do you see a story on Kotaku? Somebody there kind of had, like, this long hands-on impression of Connect 2. Not flattering at all.
Oh, really?
He basically sounded like it was a disaster. He was playing the Connect sports thing. And first he said they were doing the thing where they were scanning him, mm-hmm. you know? And he said it kind of wasn't working very well. And, like, the guy, and, you know, it's like the Microsoft rep's like, oh, stand like this. We'll move your hands like this. And the guy's thinking, like, well, what happens when people are in their living rooms and they don't have a Microsoft rep?
Yeah.
Then he said, you know, like, after forever, there was an avatar that kind of looked like him. Like, not really any better than, like, what the 3DS did by, you know, with its stupid camera.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, him and the guy were trying to play Mount Climb Gang together. And, it's just like the original Connect. It wasn't working that well because there was two players at once.
Oh, no.
And then it was, like, when it was just him, he said it was better. But, like, it's still not, like, the one-to-one you want it to be. That's, like, if Connect 2 is not as promised and it still doesn't really work that well, there's no... The Kinect has to be perfect. And when I say perfect, it needs to be that kind of one-to-one.
It has to be as reliable as a controller.
Well, you know, it has to be as reliable as they always make it look like it is.
Right.
How about that? And I still think about that first, like, video they show when it was
the Cirque du Soleil thing?
Oh, not the... Yeah, I mean that. But, like, oh my God, like the kid, like, the Kung Fu master, he walks in the room and he's like...
Oh, yeah, and he scans his skateboard and all that bullshit. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Give me a break. Don't even get me started on Milo or whatever the hell. All that crap. But, I mean, it's just, like, what's going on with... I think it's going to be an atrocity if that thing...
If
it still has problems like that, and if it's still doing things like this guy saying, like, you know, sometimes voice commands just didn't work, you have to say it three times. Now they're forcing this on you for, mm-hmm. you know, and it's bumping the price up by $100. I'm sick of Kinect. I'm really done with it. Let me ask you, really.
Hmm.
If the next Xbox did not come with the Kinect, and you had to buy it separately, would you get it?
Probably not. Certainly not based on what they've shown for it.
That's the other thing, too.
I was going to say, I think Fantasia looks fun.
That comes out on the Xbox 360.
Well, true.
So who cares? It's a mess. And now, like, what, the PlayStation 4 is going to have voice control and all tracking. You just got to... buy a thing.
Yeah, they
which
got
is
their
eye.
Yeah,
you know, like, and like, those are the guys saying, it's like, you know, like when you, yeah, you can say Xbox Home, and the third time it worked, or I could push this button.
Yeah.
And it works every time. And I don't know. I'm so over Kinect. And I think...
I mean, it's a good idea. It just has to work.
But here's the problem, too, and I don't think they get this. The excitement's gone. The spark is gone.
Yeah, like, the whole novelty is finished.
People... No one... Yeah, and bundling it, it's risky. And I think people aren't making a very big deal about the fact that the Xbox One is $500. It might be a bigger deal than people think it's going to be.
You think?
I think it's going to be big. Those two systems are coming out exactly around the same time. Mm-hmm. They're going to be very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft's biggest advantage right now is the fact that Titanfall looks good. They have the best exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
By all accounts, they have the best exclusive. So they got that going for them.
Yeah. Speaking of Titanfall and what you said earlier about hoping Valve announces Source 2, I'm pretty sure we've seen Source 2, I mean.
You think Titanfall's running on Source 2?
Oh, it has to be. You really think that's running on an engine from 2004?
Mm.
Modified as it may be.
Why, is it supposed to be Source?
It's Source.
So
you
think that's Source 2?
I'm positive.
I mean, it looks good.
It has to be.
Here's a question. Is that going to run on Linux, then?
Well, sure.
Titanfall? Then, hey, not a big
Titanfall. Titanfall may not, only because it's not an Xbox exclusive, it's a Microsoft exclusive.
Oh, right. Whatever. Well, that's the thing. Like, what does that mean now?
It runs on Windows and Xbox.
Yeah, who knows?
Like Shadowrun was.
Oh, God, Shadowrun.
I think I'm, like, the only person in the world who enjoyed that game.
That game for Windows Live is dead, at least. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into some of this Grand Theft Auto stuff?
No.
All right, let's get into this. Can people hear? Because I kind of want to read this.
Kind of cheat this one.
Just a little rough.
No, don't do that.
Don't? What do you mean, don't do that?
I mean, don't talk out the side of your mouth like a Popeye.
So, I kind of wanted to ask, because we've been kind of dismissive about Grand Theft Auto 5, and I'm pretty sure almost every other video game podcast out there right now, it's the big conversation piece, like everyone's talking about playing it and what's going on. I wish we could play it because I do want to talk about
it. Well, apparently it is red boxable.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we've got a busy few days coming up.
Yeah, I'm not really.
But we'll try
Monday
to maybe get a day in on it.
So maybe Monday we can try it. I want to try it. But so I kind of said on our Google Plus community, I was asking what everybody else thought of Grand Theft Auto kind of as a series. I was asking what they thought, me and you were being overly dismissive. And I kind of asked if the irredeemable characters kind of bother people. Alex Connolly actually said that he kind of finds the whole irredeemable character thing to be kind of honest in that sort of meta kind of reality of video games. He says one reason why he really likes Kanan Lynch a lot. And stuff. He doesn't seem to be... He hasn't actually played Grand Theft Auto 5 yet, so he didn't really have a whole lot to say there.
Right.
But yeah, he kind of is defending that. Jay Loretta kind of seems to be right. He seems to be on track with us about Grand Theft Auto.
This is why we like our audience.
Yeah, exactly. He wants to like the series, but it's just, you know, everybody is really unlikable. And actually, he said the same conversation you were talking about a weekend confirmed, where they were talking about...
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. Again, you kind of hate to talk about another podcast. But Jeff Cannata, like in the first segment when they were talking about it, they were talking about just pure gameplay mechanics. And they're all getting super excited about it, and it starts getting me thinking, come and play this. Mm. Then they take a break, and they come back, and they're like, let's talk about, like, story and characters, and they all were like, ugh, it's the worst. And I'm like, well, what the hell? I'll expound on this.
Chris Whittington said that he loved Red Dead Redemption because it had a relatable lead character, a mature story, and that GTA is just glorified thug life, no thanks. That's kind of something I want to get to right now.
Okay.
I'm just going to say it. I might be too white for Grand Theft Auto.
Maybe.
And I know that's not the right word, because it's not like it's all, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, two of the three main characters
I know, but
are white
and that's
guys,
not but... what I mean, but just... Look...
You live in suburbia, in a nice neighborhood, and you've never had any desires to go on a shooting spree and rob a car.
No, it's not just... I just don't like... In terms of fiction, not that all fiction needs to be escapism and whoopie-doo-wee, everything's great, but I just... Nothing could be less appealing for me than the world of organized crime and drugs.
Right.
Nothing could be worse.
When you're growing up as a kid, yeah, you want to be a cowboy. You want to be a soldier.
But is this what kids dream about now? Like, someday I'm going to be a pimp.
Right. No, they don't. At least, God.
Maybe, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Maybe. Maybe because they're like, oh, it'd be sweet to be a bank robber. Is that a thing? I don't know. I just don't get the appeal of this kind of stuff. To be honest, and to be fair, I've been like this for a lot of stuff. Like, I'm the same way with like mobster movies and the like mafia movies. I never seen Godfather. I have no interest in it. Someone's going to yell at me. And like Sopranos and stuff like that. And, like, I'm, like, weirded out sometimes when you go to a person's home and they have, like, the portrait of James Gandolfini and, like the stuff. And it's, like, they worship the people. I'm, like, these are terrible role models. These aren't good people. Like, oh, they're about family. They murder their family.
Here's what I'll say to that. Like, things like Godfather and Sopranos, at least my interpretation, is that they're showing you this isn't worth it.
Yeah, but like people don't. People, see, but yeah, there's some but people no don't get the message. No one gets it.
No one remembers the scene where, like, Tony gets shot and gets beat up and stuff. They remember the scene where he's, like, fucking a stripper and lives in a huge house. And they're like, oh, he's so sweet.
Right. Yeah, it's like,
yeah, like, that's a problem.
Yeah, I wish I liked it more. All right, let's move on. Dammy. Oh, God, I always get this. Anafoakon.
Just say it fast. That's what I do.
Anafoakon says, I love the world and technical marvel of GTA, but yes, the crude vulgarity of it all puts me off. Same way I felt about Saints Row 3, though that was more on the fantastical side. I wonder why Saints Row doesn't bother
me. Because Saints Row...
I mean, it does a little bit,
Saints
still.
Saints Row crosses into being just goofy.
I guess it's just, it's so far that I don't mind.
Right, like, you cross a line and it's just pure parody.
And there are still times where I'm like, okay, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like this, like, weird, like... They're like superhero gangsters, so it's like, whatever. Stuart Simpson had an interesting thought on this. He said he wondered if the violence of GTA is a reflection of where it's made, Scotland. Although many people think of Scotland as a rowdy land full of rough, tough Highlanders, it actually is an incredibly peaceful place. A game that revels in violence made in a country where the last year there were 514 firearm incidents, where there were only 90 homicides in a population of 5.3 million. So maybe it's kind of a weird fantasy trip for those Scots. Yeah, that's interesting to think about, huh? Like, to them, this is almost like, maybe to them, this is so ridiculous they don't take it as seriously as we do.
Maybe.
Maybe that's kind of the problem, though. Like, a lot of it, it's not that much fun to me to see, like, a crazy white guy go on a shooting spree. Because that the shit happens, you know? Yeah.
Well, everyone wants to be like, oh, but... Grand Theft Auto and Rockstar, it's such great social satire. No, it's not. You know what it is? It's a bunch of puns.
Well, you know,
the phone. It's an iFruit because it's like an iPhone, but it's made by Apple, so it's an iFruit. Get it? It's funny.
You know,
and it's commentary because they're a big company.
Maybe it wouldn't all bother me so much if it wasn't held in such high esteem. If this was what it was, and it was like a B-movie kind of thing. She's got a choose stick. She's fine. You worried that Penny's...
No, I just heard a noise.
You know, like, it'd be fine. But the fact that, like, Grand Theft Auto is the biggest thing in video games.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I'd be... A metric I'm very curious to learn. How many people actually finish the story? Or is it like Call of Duty? Where, like, the story doesn't matter. It's like the multiplayer of this game is just the open world you can screw around in. Because I know me, personally, I've never finished a Grand Theft Auto.
No, me neither. I never come close.
I play three or four missions, and I go, eh, and I just start fucking around. I really wonder if that's the case for everybody.
Now, Pete kind of comes to the defense here. He says...
TLDR, what's it say?
Oh, well, I'm not going to read the whole thing. Well, basically, he said he loved 3, Vice City. He couldn't get into San Andreas so much because of the kind of thug life thing about it. 4 wasn't that much either, but he actually likes 5 a lot. He actually really does like the characters in the story. He says maybe it's not to everyone's taste. He says it's kind of sad that people are being dismissive about it without pointing fingers, but I think they're being pointed at us a little bit. I guess that I want to try it. But, then he kind of defended himself, and everybody said that they wanted Bully 2. That's another game I never played, is Bully.
Again, that never appealed to me either.
Yeah, I didn't get it. Apparently it's great because everyone loves it, but yeah. I just never...
So, like, everyone, like, I feel like that's, like, the defense that people do, like, it have is, like, well, they don't have to be redeemable characters. Like the whole point is that they're so bad and blah, blah, blah. That's fine. But again, from what I've heard of reviews and hearing people talk about this game, these characters go on absolutely no arc of any kind.
Right, and
they begin the game as pissed off people yelling at each other, and they end the game as pissed off people yelling at each other.
And, you know, I'll just say it. It's just kind of a personal preference of mine that I don't really like irredeemable characters. I don't like things that are kind of a bit too... real sometimes. And I know, I feel like I sound like a sheltered brat.
You don't have to be redeemed as a character, but you can grow still.
Yeah, exactly.
You can go on some kind of journey.
Like, do you think that Trevor character, do you think he acts Do you think there's any sort of character difference at the end credits than there was in the beginning?
No.
Do you think he goes through any sort of revelation?
If you could do a GTA, and I thought they were going to do this with Franklin, but apparently they really don't. Like, someone who gets pulled into this world, and at first he's trying to resist, but the temptation of...
I think that's what they're trying to do before.
Yeah, you make the temptations of everything you're doing too great, and you just completely give into it and become a psychopath. Like everyone talks about how Trevor is this crazy person. How did he get like that? I want to know that story.
Right.
From all accounts, Jeff Cannata said, it sounds like in the voice acting sessions, they were like, just yell.
Just scream as all much the as time. Possible.
Everyone's that just gets grating.
It's like, I play this game, it's like imagining what hell would be like. Just everybody is like a selfish prick who's all completely into things for some sort of materialistic reason. It's always money or hookers or something. And I'm looking at everyone's posting screenshots, and it's like, oh, look at this, is funny. You walk out here, you can see this person having sex in the backyard. Ha! Huh? Here's a dog humping, and look, he can get a lap dance. I'm like, okay,
great.
And I know I hate to be like this guy who's kind of like, why are you getting a video game lap dance? why is that in the big the biggest selling video game of all time? That's a feature. Why don't you go play a game instead? Go get a real lap dance. I don't know.
They're $20.
Honestly.
Come on.
But I guess I still want to get it, but I don't want to get it. I want to play.
Let me rectify this.
I don't want to buy Grand Theft Auto. But
So what do you think happens when GTA Online comes out?
By the way, it's kind of bullshit how GTA gets a free pass from not launching with its online component.
Yeah, and then there's rumors now that it's going to have, real money microtransactions.
Yeah, and I guess they're trying to tell people, when Grand Theft Auto Online comes out, it's probably going to be a mess at first. That's kind of weird, they can just not launch a feature. I even see some people it's nice of them, because now we can focus on the single player. Shut up.
Yeah.
Give me a break. That's just weird. I mean, I bet a lot of people will say, it's not I'm not getting $60 worth of the single player. And maybe that's true, that's right. Fair. But still, I don't know, it's weird.
I don't know either.
I feel like I'm just...
I mean, GTA 4 got me hyped on the premise of where this character's story and how he was, looking for a new chance. But the second I turned that game on, got in a car that I could not control very well, and just started running people over, and he started cracking jokes about it,
yeah.
I was done.
I
was done.
It just doesn't... never makes any sense to me, the things going on in these games. The things that cops do. I still, you get caught, you go into the prison, you come out, and, you can shoot 50 people. I don't know. Just all the ludonarrative stuff. I mean, which is... maybe it's a dumb criticism to make, because all these games have these problems.
Right.
Like I just said, just don't know. But thanks to everybody who contributed to that conversation. It was great. You can still contribute to that one. We'll come up with something else to talk about there soon. What have you been playing this week?
Final Fantasy.
Yeah, me too. I tell you what, I still really like Final Fantasy.
Getting close to doing my job class quest.
I got to do another really big... It's one of the big story boss fights. It's a guy called Titan. It was so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It was just an awesome fight. And again, all you do is the quest line leads up to it. There's a lot of build up. You just go into the duty finder and you just do the one boss fight, basically, and the cinematic and stuff. And it is just this really intense fight. There's a lot to it. It's cool because you're with a group of people and you're not going to, probably not going to get it the first time. You kind of have to run. What's good is you don't take a too much damage to your items for failing. So
no,
kind of expect
death penalty in this game is pretty loose.
Yeah, it's not too bad. And the fight was just, the mechanics of it were really interesting. It had its own music. It had battle music that was made specifically for it. It was kind of in the style of that Final Fantasy X end song.
Bit,
it's a little metal-y. And it's just oh my god, this is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I even did another dungeon today, and just some of the boss fights were just super interesting. The one would just he would cast a doom on the entire party at some point, and when he did that, you all had to run to one of these random squares that would light up to get the doom spell off
of
you, and just stuff like that. And the other one it gets more complicated. And it's cool. And again, it's cool. It's just I don't know what it is about Final Fantasy, but for the most part, all of the parties I'm in are so nice.
Yeah,
and they're like, I'll be like, I don't know this fight. Then they explain what to do, and then like you'll wipe, and everyone will be like, it's okay, we'll get him next time. I'll tell you what, World of Warcraft is not like that.
No, I was running a dungeon too once, and there's a guy who kind of knew the dungeons, so he was kind of guiding us through, and I didn't realize, and you know, he didn't say anything, and that's fine, but like, he went to go activate this item, and activating it would make monsters spawn. And I didn't even know he was going to do this. I was the tank. I was kind of out front the whole time. And so, to that point, we should be playing. There's a group of guys. I'll run to it, grab aggro, you guys kill them. So I do that and realize, oh, shit, they're fighting something over here. And I'm like, crap, guys, that's totally on me. I'm sorry I ran ahead. They're all like, no, it's cool. Just be careful next time. We wiped, went back, and it was fine. I was like, wow.
Everyone gets over it.
I was not ready for that response.
Yeah, so yeah, I like Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at, you know, before I started playing Earthbound, which I'm still doing, I tried to play that last Professor Layton game on the 3DS. I was kind of having a hard time getting into it.
Oh, no.
Well, it's just that it's the fifth Professor Layton game now.
Yeah.
And it's all kind of samey. It's kind of weird, too, because, like, it's not just, like, portraits, you know? It's, like, they're 3D models.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost kind of jarring. It's almost kind of weirding me out. I'm like, what's going on here? What's this about? I don't know. Maybe I just need to try to get into it a little bit more, but like right now I'm like, I want to play something else. That's why I bought Earthbound.
Yeah,
Earthbound's been going.
I got Infinity Blade 3.
I never cared about Infinity Blade.
I like this one better than 2, if you ever played it.
No,
2 had a problem where, like, so you know, it's basically Punch Out.
Yeah,
2 had this thing where they got too fancy with the flourishes and all the combat animations. Mm-hmm. Like, a guy would, like, raise his hand up to, like, your right, and you're like, okay, like, I'm gonna parry this right. Then he'd do, like, this crazy whip his arms around thing, and then, like, come down from the other side, and you're like, whoa, how do you get... I'm dead. Mm-hmm. Like, that made no sense.
Right.
So the attack animations at least make a little more sense in this one.
Well, that's something.
Looks really, really good in my 5S.
Yeah, I'm sure they always
it
look
does.
Good.
It does. So, yeah. I don't know. Is there anything else?
Not much.
No.
Not much else.
I feel like this is like the calm before the storm.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm kind of just waiting
for Grand Theft Auto.
Kind of waiting for Pokemon.
I guess Pokemon's the next big one.
Yeah, let's get to the releases then. What came out? Kind of slow this week, I think. FIFA.
Which apparently is good.
It's FIFA. I guess everyone's mad because the 3DS version is just complete.
It's just a roster upgrade.
Right, yeah, so everyone's mad about that. Ascend Hand of Cool.
It's a free-to-play.
Oh, really?
That kind of came out of nowhere, yeah.
You see that deep down that game is a free-to-play?
A free-to-play PS4 game.
What is that about?
I do not know. Guess we can find out eventually.
Pro Evolution Soccer also came out, I guess. Rise of Venice for PC.
Could be good.
Could be. Apparently I'm dismissive, I've been told, of games on here sometimes.
Could be amazing.
Alien Rage for PC.
I can't wait for that game.
Timelines.
Everyone should buy it.
Assault on America. Whoa, this sounds un-American. Checking this shit. Void of Darkness for PC. Oh, Scribblenauts Unmasked, which is like the DC Scribblenauts game.
You know, to me, that whole franchise, like, it seemed like it was going to be the coolest thing ever. Yeah. And you're like, eh.
IGN gave it a 9.1.
Again, you're like, you spend 5 minutes like, could it do this? And then you're like, don't care anymore.
Iron Soul for the PC. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows for PS3. I think that already came out in 360.
Yeah,
right?
It was part of the Summer Arcade.
They did the Summer of Arcade this year?
Yeah.
Did anyone care?
Not really.
All right. That was a big deal for me. Yeah. Train Simulator 2014. All right, that's it, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com.
I feel like we're kind of negative this week.
Yeah, we hated everything.
Yeah, we did.
I wasn't even going to talk about how, like, I wasn't feel like I liked Earthbound, but I didn't quite, you know, understand why it has, like, its cult status. Maybe I'm a good thing
keep
I didn't
your
go
mouth shut.
I'll play a bit more Earthbound first before I get that, because there are people who love Earthbound. They love Earthbound a lot.
Yeah.
Well, so it's fun and it's quirky. I just kind of wish that, you know, the combat wasn't just Dragon Quest.
It was weird about that game to me. This is fairly anecdotal on my part. Yeah. It always looked like the game was, like, the backgrounds are drawn out of perspective, but the characters aren't.
Yeah, I kind of know what you mean, because everything looks isometric-y.
Yeah, but like, things don't fit into the...
Because no, I know what you mean, because like, yeah, a lot of the buildings are like in that slant, but the characters are all up, down, left, right-ish.
Yeah.
They can go diagonal. Yeah, I know what you mean. But yeah, anyways, go to our Twitter, our Facebook, and the Google Plus community, and go to the iTunes Music Store, find all of our old episodes, and leave us a review. We always love that. All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
We'll see what Steam's going to do on Friday.
Yeah, maybe it'll be something amazing. Probably not.
The best controller, Mike.
Oh, God. Please be Source. Please be Source 2. Please be just be Half-Life 3. All will be forgiven.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye.